Och heter David Guse.
Och
jag kommer från California, men jag bor i Tyskland nu.
I'm coming from California, but I live in Germany now.
Jag är gift med en vacker svensk flicka.
Hon heter Inga-Lill. Swedish girl.
Ja, hon heter Inga-Lill. Och jag har tre barnen. Jag talar bara lite svenska. Så därför jag vill fråga min nya vän Leon till hjälp med mig. Så ja. Open your Bible to Mark 16.
Ska vi slå på Markus 16?
We are very grateful for the warm reception from all of our friends here in Denmark.
Vi er meget taknemmelige for den varme modtagelse vi har fået af alle vores venner her i Danmark.
And it is really a mark of the kingdom of God.
Og det er virkelig et kendetegn på Guds rige.
That an American who now lives in Germany,
at en amerikaner som bor i Tyskland nu,
can speak broken Swedish to a group of Danes,
og som kan tale sådan noget haltende svensk og så til en gruppe danskere.
And nobody thinks it's all that strange.
Og der er ingen der synes at det er noget mærkeligt noget.
This is the kingdom of God.
Men sådan er Guds rige.
This week in our conference we have been looking at the Gospel of Mark.
I denne her uge i denne konference der har vi set på Markus evangeliet.
And as we've looked at it we've had the theme of seeing Jesus.
Og det tema som vi har haft mens vi har set på det er at se Jesus.
We think that it's more important to see Jesus than to see any individual.
Vi tror det er mere vigtigt at se Jesus end bare at se en eller anden person.
Or to see any church.
Eller for at se en eller anden kirke for den sags skyld.
Any denomination or group of churches.
En eller anden kirkesamfund eller en gruppe af kirker.
And so we thought it would be a worthy theme for us to go through the Gospel of Mark.
Og derfor synes vi det ville være noget værdigt for os at gå igennem hele Markus evangeliet.
Now we've gone through the gospel rather quickly.
Nu er det ret hurtigt vi har gået igennem Markus evangeliet.
And we've been looking at the major themes of the gospel.
Og det vi har set på, det er hovedtemaet i evangelierne.
We've seen Jesus as a great servant.
Vi har set Jesus som en stor tjener.
We've seen Jesus as a as someone with great power and authority.
Vi har set Jesus med en der har stor magt og autoritet.
And yesterday we saw Jesus in his great sacrifice for the sins of man.
Og i går der så vi på Jesus som den der ofrede sig helt for menneskers frelse.
But this morning we get to look and see the risen Jesus.
Men her til morgen så skal vi se den opstandne Jesus.
That's what I'd like you to do this morning.
Og det er det jeg gerne vil have der skal ske for jer i denne formiddag.
To see and consider the risen Jesus.
At se og betragte den opstandne Jesus.
We will read through this 16th chapter of Mark.
Vi læser igennem hele det 16. kapitel i Markus.
And we don't have the time to really investigate every verse.
Og vi har ikke tid til at gå ind i hvert enkelt vers.
But we can become familiar with the major themes that we have in front of us.
Men hovedtemaet som vi har foran os, det får vi fat i.
Now of course you know how the previous chapter ended.
I kan huske hvordan det foregående kapitel det sluttede.
Jesus was crucified.
Jesus blev korsfæstet.
The disciples seemed to lose all hope.
Disciplerne de synes har mistet alt håb.
It seemed that everything that they had hoped for was gone now.
Det virkede som om alt hvad de havde håbet på det var væk nu.
And this is the attitude that the people beginning Mark chapter 16 have.
Og det er den indstilling de mennesker her har i begyndelsen af kapitel 16.
I'll read the first three verses first in English.
Jeg læser de første tre vers på engelsk først.
And then we'll read them in Danish also.
Og så tager vi dem på dansk bagefter.
Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?
Da sabbaten var forbi, købte Maria Magdalene og Maria Jakobs mor og Salome vellugtende salver for at gå ud og salve ham. Meget tidligt om morgenen, den første dag i ugen, kommer de til graven, da solen var stået op, og de sagde til hinanden, Hvem skal vi få til at vælte stenen fra indgangen til graven?
I think the main thing to see in these first three verses.
Jeg tror at hovedsagen i disse første tre vers.
Is not only the great love and devotion of these three women.
Det er ikke bare den store kærlighed og indvielse hos disse tre kvinder.
You'll notice that the disciples of Jesus themselves are nowhere to be found.
I kan lægge mærke til at Jesu disciple, de var der ikke.
They're all hiding in fear.
De gemte sig simpelthen af frygt.
We could say that these women had a greater devotion to Jesus.
Så vi kan godt sige at de her tre kvinder, de havde en større indvielse til Jesus.
Or at the very least a greater courage.
Eller i hvert fald mere mod.
But not only do we see their devotion.
Men vi ser ikke bare deres indvielse.
We also notice that they were not expecting Jesus to be risen from the dead.
Men vi lægger også mærke til, at de forventede faktisk ikke, at Jesus skulle opstå fra de døde.
Now it is true that Jesus made many promises about his resurrection.
Og nu er det jo sandt, at Jesus gav mange løfter om sin opstandelse.
But his disciples did not remember those promises.
Men det huskede disciplerne ikke på.
And these devoted women did not remember these promises.
Og de her indviede kvinder, de huskede det heller ikke.
And so it came as quite a surprise to them to later find that Jesus had risen from the dead.
Så derfor blev det en vældig overraskelse for dem senere, da det viste sig, at Jesus var opstået fra de døde.
We find that as they come to the tomb on this morning,
og vi finder, at når de kommer ud til graven denne morgen,
they don't even know how they're going to roll the stone away.
Så aner de ikke engang, hvordan skal vi få stenen rullet væk.
Now they did know that there were soldiers guarding the tomb on behalf of the Romans.
Og de vidste jo godt, at der stod soldater på vagt, som stod der for romerne.
And perhaps they hoped that the Roman soldiers would be kind enough to open the tomb.
Så det kan være, at de håbede på, at disse romerske soldater skulle være venlige nok, så at de ville gøre det for dem.
But it just shows how they were not expecting Jesus to be risen from the dead.
Men det viser bare, at de forventede ikke, at Jesus skulle være opstået fra de døde.
And then we find in the following verses.
Og så finder vi i de følgende vers.
That when they first had some evidence of Jesus' resurrection,
at da de først har opdaget, at der var noget bevis for, at Jesus var opstået fra de døde,
they did not immediately receive it.
Så tog de ikke lige imod det med det samme.
Look here at verses 4 through 8.
Prøv at se her i vers 4 til 8.
But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, you who seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, and they trembled, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Men da de så derhen, opdagede de, at stenen var væltet fra, for den var meget stor. Og da de kom ind i graven, så de en ung mand i hvide klæder sidde på den højre side, og de blev forfærdede. Men da sagde han til dem, vær ikke forfærdede, I søger efter Jesus fra Nazaret, den korsfæstede. Han er opstået, han er ikke her. Se, det er stedet, hvor de lagde ham. Men gå hen og sig til hans disciple og til Peter, at han går i forvejen for jer til Galilea. Der skal I se ham, som han har sagt jer det. Og de gik ud og flygtede fra graven, for de var rystede og ude af sig selv, og de sagde ikke noget til nogen, for de var bange.
Now again, this was a very dramatic moment for these women.
Nu var det her altså en meget dramatisk øjeblik for disse kvinder.
As I picture this in my mind,
sådan som jeg forestiller mig det.
And I hope that you do that when you read the Bible.
Jeg håber, at I også gør det, når I læser Bibelen.
You should picture the scenes of the Bible in your mind.
Prøv at forestille jer, hvad det er, der sker, når I læser Bibelen.
Not to say that what you see in your mind was necessarily just as it happened.
Ikke fordi, at det, I ser i for jeres indre, lige nøjagtigt er det, der skete.
But we should understand that these were real events.
Men det vi må forstå, det er, at det her, det var virkelige ting, der skete.
Sometimes I say that I have a movie going on in my head as I read the Bible.
Nogle gange så synes jeg, det er ligesom om, at jeg har en film, der kører i min tanke, når jeg læser Bibelen.
And in the film that goes on in my head, I see the women turning a corner.
Og når jeg kan se den her film for mig i mit indre, så kan jeg se, at de kommer omkring et hjørne.
And then they look and see that the stone has been rolled away.
Og så ser de op, og så ser de, at stenen er rullet bort.
They must have been absolutely shocked.
De må have været virkelig chokeret.
And afraid, at least for a few moments.
Og i hvert fald bange nogle få øjeblikke.
They don't see the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb.
De ser ikke de romerske soldater, der vogter selve graven.
Yeah, instead they see an angel.
Og i stedet for så møder de en engel.
And the angel is there seemingly to sit on the stone.
Og der sidder englen højst sandsynligt på stenen.
And as he points this out to the women that Jesus is risen from the dead.
Og han påpeger det, at Jesus er opstået fra de døde.
Then the women are immediately alarmed by this.
Og det bliver kvinderne simpelthen chokeret over.
They run out to tell the disciples.
Så løber de ud for at fortælle det til disciplene.
Well, excuse me, that's what the angel told them to do.
Nej, det var nu faktisk ikke det, der skete, men det var det, englen sagde, de skulle.
But verse 8 tells us that they were too afraid to say anything to anybody.
Men vers 8 siger, at de var så bange, så de ikke turde fortælle nogen noget.
Now, from this we see that this testimony of the angel was not immediately received.
Og derfor kan vi ligesom forstå, at dette vidnesbyrd englen aflagde bliver ikke modtaget med det samme.
Again, this reminds us that they were not expecting the resurrection.
Og det minder os om, at de ikke forventede opstandelsen.
It came as a great surprise to them.
Det kom som en stor overraskelse for dem.
It was such a big surprise that they didn't immediately believe it.
Det var så stor en overraskelse, at de ikke øjeblikkeligt troede det.
The same idea is carried on into verse 9.
Det samme ser vi, at det fortsætter i vers 9.
But I'm afraid I must pause here just for a moment between verses 8 and 9.
Men jeg bliver nødt til lige at gøre et lille ophold her imellem vers 8 og vers 9.
Because there is an important question from the text that arises in this chapter of the Gospel of Mark.
Fordi der er et vigtigt spørgsmål, der opstår her i teksten i Markus evangeliet.
You may have a footnote in many of your Bibles right here.
Det kan være, at der er en fodnote i nogle af jeres bibler.
That indicates that from verse 9 to the end of the chapter may not have been included in what Mark originally wrote.
Hvor der står noget om, at fra vers 9 og så til kapitlets afslutning, det var måske ikke det, der var med, da Markus skrev evangeliet.
I know that for many Christians, this is sort of a disturbing thing.
Og jeg ved, at for mange kristne, der er det altså noget, der virkelig generer dem.
They wonder, well, wait a minute, you're telling me that this might not really be part of my Bible.
Og så siger, nå, mener I, at det her det virkelig ikke er en del af min Bibel?
Does this mean that other parts of the Bible aren't really of the Bible?
Betyder det så også, at der er andre dele af Bibelen, som ikke rigtig hører til?
Well, let me say a few words about that before we look at verse 9.
Lad os lige sige lidt om det her, inden vi ser på vers 9.
First of all, you should understand that the situation with Mark 16 is very unique.
Først så må I forstå, at det, der sker her i Markus 16, er meget, meget enestående.
It is not as if this is a problem that runs throughout the text of the Old or the New Testament.
Det er ikke et problem, som dukker op igennem hele Gamle og Nye Testamente.
And the problem centers around the discovery of two ancient manuscripts.
Problemet opstår, fordi man har opdaget to gamle manuskripter.
I believe the names of the manuscripts are Codex Sinaiticus and Vaticanus.
Jeg tror, at navnene er Codex Sinaiticus og Vaticanus.
And they were written about the year 325 and 340.
Og de beskrev omkring 325-340.
And in those two ancient manuscripts, these last verses of Mark are not included.
Og i disse to gamle manuskripter, der findes disse sidste vers af Markus ikke.
And these are some of the oldest complete New Testaments that we have in existence.
Og det er nogle af de ældste hele Nye Testamenter, som vi har.
And there are some other reasons why this text is called into question.
Og der er andre grunde til, at denne tekst bliver der rejst spørgsmålstegn ved.
But those two ancient manuscripts are the main reason.
Men disse to gamle manuskripter, det er faktisk det, der er hovedårsagen.
Well, one thing you should know.
Men der er en ting, som I bør vide.
Is that the earliest evidence of the New Testament is not found in ancient Bibles.
Og det er, at de ældste beviser på Nye Testamente findes ikke i disse gamle bibler.
But it's found in the writings of ancient Christians.
Men det findes derimod i de skrifter, som de første kristne skrev til hinanden.
I noticed coming in here through the door.
Jeg lagde mærke til, da jeg kom ind ad døren her.
That you have many books out there that people can get out there in your lobby area.
At der er mange bøger derude, som man kan få.
And I suppose that many of those books are filled with scriptural references.
Og jeg vil tro, at der i disse bøger er mange henvisninger til skriften.
I saw in Daniel's house a shelves full of books with references to the Bible.
Og jeg så hjemme hos Daniel, at der var en hel hylde fyldt af bøger, hvor der var henvisninger til skriften.
Well, I suppose that if you didn't have a Bible, you could just look in those books for the references to the scriptures.
Og jeg vil tro, hvis du nu ikke havde en Bibel, så kunne du læse i de her forskellige bøger og se de henvisninger, der var til Bibelen.
And gather up much of the Bible just from the references in Christian writings.
Og af disse henvisninger, der kunne du samle meget af det, der stod i Bibelen op.
Well, you should know that they have found at least 7 letters written by ancient Christians.
Og I skal vide, at der er i hvert fald 7 breve, der er fundet fra nogle af de første kristne.
That were written far before the time of Sinaiticus or Vaticanus.
Som blev skrevet før Sinaiticus og Vaticanus.
And these include references to these verses in the Gospel of Mark.
Og der er henvisninger til disse sidste vers i Markus evangeliet.
Now, it is a bit of a complicated problem.
Nu er det lidt af et problem, det her.
Because there is some awkward transition in the grammar between verses 8 and 9.
Fordi der sker nogle mærkelige ting rent grammatisk imellem vers 8 og vers 9.
And so there are some, you know, things to work out here in the original text.
Så der er et eller andet, man bliver nødt til at bearbejde i den oprindelige tekst.
But I think that we can be confident.
Men jeg tror, vi kan godt være sikre på,
that either these exact words,
at enten disse nøjagtige disse ord,
or something very much like them were originally written by Mark.
Eller noget, der ligner det her meget, var det, der blev skrevet af Markus.
You see that the theme continues right on into verse 9.
Fordi temaet, det fortsætter videre i vers 9.
As I'll read verses 9 through 13.
Og nu skal vi læse vers 9 til 13.
Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either.
Da Jesus var opstået tidligt om morgenen den første dag i ugen, viste han sig først for Maria Magdalene, som han havde drevet 7 dæmoner ud af. Hun gik hen og fortalte det til dem, som havde været sammen med ham, og som nu klagede og græd. Men da de hørte, at han levede, og at hun havde set ham, troede de ikke på det. Derefter viste han sig i en anden skikkelse for 2 af dem, mens de var på vej ud på landet. De gik også hen og fortalte det til de andre, men heller ikke dem ville de tro.
So we're continuing very much along the same theme.
Så det er samme tema, som fortsætter ret så meget her.
The resurrection of Jesus was not immediately believed.
At Jesu opstandelse blev ikke øjeblikkeligt troet.
It seemed too good to be true.
Det var simpelthen for godt til at være sandt.
And so the earliest disciples and such, when they first heard the news, they did not believe it.
Så de første disciple, da de hørte de her nyheder, så troede de dem ikke.
But finally, we see in verse 14.
Men så endelig i vers 14 ser vi,
that they did have it proved to them by Jesus himself.
At de fik et bevis for sig selv gennem Jesus.
It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen.
Til sidst viste han sig for de 11, mens de sad til bords, og han bebrejdede dem deres vantro og hårdhjertighed, fordi de ikke havde troet dem, der havde set ham efter hans opstandelse.
Now I want you to see that this shows that Jesus personally proved to these doubting disciples that he had risen.
Og jeg vil gerne have, at I skal se, at Jesus personligt beviste for disse tvivlende disciple, at han var opstået fra de døde.
But he also rebuked them.
Men han bebrejdede dem også.
Because they should have believed the testimony of reliable witnesses.
For de skulle have troet på det vidnesbyrd, som troværdige vidner havde givet dem.
We must believe the testimony of reliable witnesses.
Vi må tro på vidnesbyrd af troværdige vidner.
And I don't think that we want to receive the same rebuke that the disciples did.
Og jeg tror ikke, at vi har lyst til at få samme bebrejdelse, som disciplene de fik.
We have the testimony of reliable witnesses regarding the resurrection of Jesus.
Vi har troværdige vidnesbyrd om Jesu opstandelse.
And the great thing about this is that this is testimony that's proven over time.
Og det gode ved det, er, at det er et vidnesbyrd, som er blevet bevist op igennem tiden.
You know, you pay attention to a fact in the world today.
Når du lægger mærke til noget, der sker i verden i dag.
It's that when things are investigated, eventually the truth comes out.
Det er, når ting de bliver virkelig gransket og undersøgt, så kommer sandheden frem til sidst.
It is almost impossible to cover something up.
Det er næsten umuligt at dække over noget.
When it is being investigated,
hvis det først bliver sat på en undersøgelse,
over a period of time,
i løbet af nogen tid.
Just this last month, I saw what may be an example of this in the newspaper.
Her sidste måned så jeg noget, som kunne være eksempel på det her.
Have you heard about this archaeological discovery that they made in Israel?
Har I hørt om denne arkeologiske opdagelse, man har gjort i Israel?
It was a box known as an ossuary.
Det var en kiste, som blev fundet.
And this is a somewhat small box that would be filled with the bones of somebody who had died.
Det er sådan en mindre kiste, som ville være fyldt med nogle ben af en, der var død.
The idea was that when the ancient Jews put somebody in a tomb,
ideen var, at når de gamle jøder, de lagde en i graven,
eventually the flesh would decay and all that would be left would be the bones.
Så ville kødet forrådne, og så ville der kun være benene tilbage.
They would gather the bones and put them in a box like this.
Og så ville de samle knoglerne sammen og lægge dem i sådan en lille kiste.
Write the name or some identification on the box.
Så ville de skrive navn eller en eller anden form for identifikation på kisten.
And then put it away.
Og så stille den til side.
That way they could use the tomb again for somebody else.
På den måde så kunne de genbruge graven til en anden.
Well, this particular box that they found had a very interesting engraving on it.
Den kiste, den havde en meget interessant inskription.
And as the scientists examined the box, they found that it said on it, James, the brother of Jesus.
Og da man undersøgte den, så viste sig, at der stod, at det her, det var Jakob, Jesu bror.
Well, of course, the great concern in something like that is to study whether or not it is genuine.
Det, der var virkelig bekymring her, det var at finde ud af, er det her ægte, eller er det ikke?
You could see the inscription as it was supposed to be on the box.
I kan se inskriptionen, som skulle have været på kisten.
And of course, the scientists study it very carefully.
Og selvfølgelig så undersøgte man det meget, meget nøje.
It went through a first series of tests, and they said, we believe this is authentic.
Og det gennemgik den første prøve, og de sagde, vi tror, det her det er ægte.
And then it went through a second series of tests.
Og så kom der en ny serie af undersøgelser.
And they said, we do not think it is authentic.
Og den sagde, vi tror ikke, at det her det er ægte.
So there is some debate about this today.
Så nu er der debat om det i dag.
You can see that there was an article in a national newspaper in the United States talking about this.
I kan se her, der var en artikel i en national avis i USA, som talte om det her.
Well, let's just say for a moment that they discovered that the box was indeed a fraud or a forgery.
Lad os nu sige, at man fandt ud af, at det her, det var simpelthen snyd. Denne her kiste.
Again, they may do further research and find that it was genuine.
Så kan det godt ske, at man kom med yderligere undersøgelser og så fandt ud af, at det var ægte nok.
But I think it's interesting to consider the idea that it might have been a forgery.
Men det er interessant at tænke på, at det her det kunne være snyd.
This means that in our modern age,
det betyder, at i vores moderne tid,
someone with all the sophisticated technology to use,
med al den moderne teknologi, som man kan bruge i dag,
did a forgery that was intended to deceive, and it worked for a while.
De har så lavet et bedrag, som skulle have virket, og det virkede en tid.
But as the investigators worked on it,
men når dem, der virkelig granskede det her, arbejdede med det,
they found that it was a fraud.
Så fandt de ud af, at det her det er et bedrag.
Within 1 year.
I løbet af et år.
Now, people have been investigating the resurrection of Jesus.
Nu er det sådan, at folk de har undersøgt Jesu opstandelse.
For 2,000 years.
Og det har man gjort i 2,000 år.
And they still have not been able to prove that it did not happen.
Og stadigvæk så er man ikke i stand til at bevise, at det ikke skete.
Some of the best books written on the proof of the resurrection.
Nogle af de bedste bøger, der er skrevet om beviser for opstandelsen,
are written by men who intended to show that the resurrection was false.
Det er skrevet af en, som prøvede på at bevise, at det ikke var sket.
And as they investigated it as closely as they could,
og når de virkelig granskede det her så tæt på, som de overhovedet kunne,
they came to the conclusion that it was true.
Så kom de til denne resultat, det er sandt nok.
Well, this is the fact.
Det er faktum.
My training in college is in history, in historical studies.
Det som jeg blevet undervist i universitetet, det er historie.
So I think I know at least a little about historical evidence.
Så jeg ved en lille smule i hvert fald om historiske bevisførelser.
And so without hesitation I tell you that the resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact.
Så derfor vil jeg uden tøven sige til jer at Jesu opstandelse er et historisk faktum.
Really the greater question is what does it mean to us?
Men det der er det virkelig store spørgsmål, det er hvad betyder det for os?
Let me quickly suggest three things that it means.
Lad mig hurtigt foreslå tre ting, som det betyder.
First of all, it means that Jesus is true.
For det første betyder det, at Jesus er sand.
When he said that he would rise from the dead, he spoke the truth.
Da han sagde, jeg vil opstå fra de døde, så talte han sandheden.
I think that if Jesus was true about that, he's true about everything else as well.
Og jeg tror, at hvis Jesus talte sandt om det, så talte han også sandt om alt muligt andet.
And we have to accept that what Jesus said is not up to our personal opinion.
Og vi må sige, at hvis det Jesus siger ikke lige akkurat er det, der falder i hak med vores mening.
But it is truth that we have to receive.
Men er sandt, så må vi alligevel tage imod det.
It also shows us that death is not the greatest power.
Det viser også, at døden er ikke den største magt.
It's easy for us to think that death is the greatest power.
Det er nemt for os at tro, at døden er den største magt.
When you walk through a graveyard,
når du går hen over en kirkegård,
it seems as if death has absolute power over everybody who's buried there.
Så virker det som om, at døden har absolut magt over alle, som ligger begravet der.
But the resurrection of Jesus proves that there is a power greater than death.
Men Jesu opstandelse viser, at der er en magt, der er større end døden.
Third, I would say that the resurrection of Jesus proves the following.
For det tredje vil jeg sige, at Jesu opstandelse beviser følgende.
That the payment of Jesus on the cross was received by God the Father.
Det er betalingen, som Jesus gav på korset, er blevet modtaget af Faderen.
It shows that Jesus could bear our sins.
Det viser, at Jesus kunne bære vores synder.
And take the punishment that our sins deserved.
Og tage den straf, som vi i grunden skulle have på grund af vores synder.
Without becoming a sinner himself.
Uden selv at blive synder.
It means that the empty tomb is the receipt for the payment of the cross.
Og derfor betyder den tomme grav, at det er kvitteringen for betalingen.
Now you know how important it is to have a receipt, don't you?
I ved, hvor vigtigt det er at have en kvittering.
It proves that the payment was made.
Det betyder, at man kan bevise, at betalingen er foregået.
And many of us need the confidence of the receipt in our hand.
Og derfor er der mange, der har brug for denne tillid, at vi har en kvittering i hånden.
I know Jesus paid the penalty my sins deserved.
Jeg ved, at Jesus betalte straffen, som mine synder fortjente.
I know God the Father accepted that payment.
Og jeg ved, at Gud Fader, han har taget imod denne betaling.
Here is the receipt in my hand.
Og her er kvitteringen i min hånd.
Well, after this was proven to the disciples,
efter det her, det var bevist for disciplene,
as it should be proven to us,
på samme måde som det er blevet bevist for os,
Jesus gave them final instructions.
Så gav Jesus dem en endelig instruktion.
Look at it here in verses 15 through 18.
Og se på dem her i vers 15 til 18.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Så sagde han til dem, gå ud i alverden og prædik evangeliet for hele skabningen. Den, der tror og bliver døbt, skal frelses, men den, der ikke tror, skal dømmes. Og disse tegn skal følge dem, der tror. I mit navn skal de uddrive dæmoner, de skal tale med nye tunger, og de skal tage på slanger med deres hænder og drikke de dødbringende gift, skal det ikke skade dem. De skal lægge hænderne på syge, og de skal blive raske.
Now there's very much that we could talk about in this passage.
Der er meget i det her afsnit, som vi godt kunne tale om.
Let me just emphasize the statement that Jesus made in verse 15.
Men lad mig bare understrege det, som Jesus sagde i vers 15.
To go into all the world and preach the gospel.
At gå ud i hele verden og prædike evangeliet.
That was the command.
Det var befalingen.
If we believe in the resurrection of Jesus,
hvis vi tror på Jesu opstandelse,
it is our command.
Så er det vores befaling.
It's your command.
Det er din befaling.
I read a story about the Duke of Wellington.
Jeg læste en beretning om Duke Duke of Wellington.
He was the great general who defeated Napoleon.
Det var den general, der slog Napoleon.
And one time, a man who was organizing missionary activity was discussing a work in India with him.
Og en gang var der en, der ville organisere noget missionsarbejde i Indien. Han talte så med denne Wellington.
And he asked the Duke of Wellington.
Og han spurgte Wellington.
Well, do you think it will succeed? Do you think we should try it?
Tror du, det kan lykkes? Skal vi prøve det?
And the Duke got a little angry.
Og duken blev noget vred.
And he looked at the man with some anger in his eyes.
Og så han på manden med vrede i øjnene.
And he said, "What are your orders?"
Så sagde han, "Hvilken ordre har du fået?"
You see, when you've been given orders,
for når du har fået en ordre,
your first question is not, "Well, will it work?"
Så dit første spørgsmål ikke, virker det?
Your first response should be, "I will do this because I am ordered to do it."
Dit første svar skal være, jeg gør det, fordi jeg er blevet beordret til at gøre det.
Success is in the responsibility of your commanding officer.
Det er din befalingsmand, din officer over dig, det er ham, der har ansvaret for succesen.
You've been told what you must do.
Du er blevet fortalt, at du skal gøre det.
Now the only question is, will we be obedient?
Spørgsmålet er bare, vil du være lydig?
Of course, every one of us has a role to play in taking the gospel to every nation.
Og alle har vi en rolle at spille, når det gælder om at bringe evangeliet til alle nationer.
We do it through our prayer.
Vi kan gøre det gennem vores bønner.
We do it by educating ourselves.
Vi kan gøre det ved at uddanne os.
We do it by financially supporting God's work all over the world.
Vi kan gøre det ved at støtte Guds arbejde over hele verden økonomisk.
We do it by going ourselves personally.
Vi kan gøre det ved at gå selv personligt.
But these are the orders from our commanding officer.
Men det her, det er vores befalingshavende, der har givet ordren.
We must take them very seriously.
Og vi må tage dem absolut alvorligt.
The good news is that they did.
Det gode her, det er, at det tog de alvorligt.
Look now to the end of the chapter.
Se nu her i slutningen af kapitlet.
So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Da Herren Jesus havde talt til dem, blev han taget op til himlen, og han satte sig ved Guds højre hånd. Men de drog ud og prædikede alle vegne, og Herren virkede med og stadfæstede ordet ved de tegn, som fulgte med.
Isn't that a great phrase?
Er det ikke en herlig sætning?
The Lord working with them.
Herren virkede med.
They went out to do the work.
De gik ud og arbejdede.
But yet Jesus worked with them.
Men Jesus arbejdede med dem.
We can have the same confidence as we go out to do God's work.
Vi kan have samme tillid, når vi går ud og gør Guds gerning.
The idea isn't that we work for God in the sense of instead of him.
Ideen er ikke, at vi skal arbejde i stedet for Gud.
The idea is that we work with God in seeing his heart done in the world.
Men det er ideen, at vi arbejder med Gud for at se, at hans hjerte kommer til udtryk i verden.
It doesn't take a Bible expert to understand these words.
Der skal ikke en bibelekspert til at forstå de her ord.
You understand them clearly enough.
I kan sagtens forstå dem.
It simply takes a committed heart to obey these words.
Alt hvad der skal til, det er et hjerte, der har indviet sig til at adlyde disse ord.
If we have seen the resurrected Jesus,
hvis vi har set den opstandne Jesus,
then it is our absolute responsibility.
Så det er vores absolute ansvar
to do what he told us to do.
At gøre hvad han har bedt os om at gøre.
And so let's pray and ask that God would give us this.
Så lad os bede og bede Herren om at give os det.
That is our prayer this morning, Lord.
Det er vores bøn her, Herre.
First, I pray that every one of us would experience the risen Jesus.
Først så beder jeg om, at vi alle sammen måtte opleve og erfare den opstandende Jesus.
That we would believe the word of reliable witnesses.
At vi må tro på ordene fra troværdige vidner.
And that we would not reject that evidence.
Og vi ikke forkaster dette bevis.
But Lord, we also want this to be real in our life.
Men Herre, vi ønsker også, at dette her skal være virkelig i vores liv.
To receive the payment that was made for us on Calvary.
At vi modtager den betaling, som blev givet for os på Golgata.
Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us.
Jeg beder om, at du vil hjælpe hver eneste af os.
To listen to these great orders from our commanding officer.
At lytte til denne befaling fra vores øverstbefalende.
And to have a heart to spread the gospel into all the world.
Og virkelig have et hjerte for at sprede evangeliet ud over hele verden.
You have to work in us by your spirit for this to happen.
Og du må virke i os ved din ånd for at få dette til at ske.
By nature, Lord, we're selfish.
Af naturen så er vi selviske.
But you can give us a heart for the world.
Men du kan give os et hjerte for verden.
Do this, Lord, for the glory of Jesus.
Gør dette, Herre, til Jesu herliggørelse.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Det beder vi om i Jesu navn.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank you again for your kind reception.
Jeg vil gerne takke jer igen for jeres venlige modtagelse.
And we look forward to perhaps another time when we can spend time here in Denmark.
Og vi ser frem imod, at vi måske en anden gang kan bruge tid her i Danmark.
And I pray that God will bless you as you carry on through this day and this week.
Og jeg vil bede Herren om at velsigne jer, når I fortsætter med jeres tjeneste.
Gud velsigne jer.
God bless you.
Amen.